You are listening to the Nailpod Podcast. I am your host, Yaelia, or Yali, and I thank you so much for taking time to listen to today's episode. Here, I am going to share my journey, my transformation, and everything that I've learned and keep learning about being your own boss in this massive world of the nail and beauty industry. This podcast has a lot of salsa and spiciness, fire, and the occasional Spanish cursing, so be ready to get inspired and motivated. No more laters, no more tomorrows. Let's start now. Ahora. Wepa, what's up, everybody? Welcome to another episode of the Nailpod Podcast. It's been a while, but I am back, baby. Today, I wanted to talk to you about my experience from nail camp that I just spent 5 days in Orlando, Florida. I just came back. If you hear some background noise, I am at the studio recording. And even though I have a sign that says, silence, please, people are still walking and just talking on the hallway. And like, I can't control that. So my apologies for that. One day I will have a soundproof studio. Hashtag goals. So I am finally done with school. I am officially a graduate for Evergreen Beauty College. I have graduated from the instructor program and I already passed my practical with the state board, and it was nerve-wracking, you guys. It was so nerve-wracking. I had to teach in front of judges that I never met before. And I had 15 to 20 minutes to do my theory class on a topic that they give you. And then I had to set up for a demonstration for 25 to 30 minutes and demonstrate my theory in front of them. And it was nerve-wracking because I had to pretend that I had a classroom in front of me. It was more like a play. So I had to take attendance. I had to make silly jokes and interact with this ghost students. And if you ever watch anime, do you know when the anime character is very embarrassed? There's like a little water drop coming from their forehead. That's how I felt every time I did like a little joke and I had to laugh by myself, like, this is humiliating. So, but thank goodness I passed with a 95%. They don't tell you what I fell from, so I don't care. I passed. The minimum was 75. So the fact that I passed with a 95, that's great. Now I'm taking the written exam next month because they had no availability sooner than that. And then once I have that test and I pass it, I will be fully licensed as an instructor, and then I can go ahead and start teaching in beauty school. Would I stop my studio and go full-time teaching? No, I am not going to leave my clients, so don't worry. But I do want to have this license. And the reason I did it, I think I talked to you about it last episode, is just one really personal, where I just wanted to have something extra under my belt, just because we all know that at some point this kind of work is going to take a toll in my body. So I do need a secondary option just in case I cannot do nails anymore. I am 32, so I know it's a long way, but you never know. Also, because after seeing the huge gap between beauty school and the real world, I really want to start educating. And what best place to start with than at school, right, where we all come from and learn about nails and the whole thing. And because I'm an educator for certain brands, I just want to keep spreading the word. And I don't know, I just want to make a change in this industry, believe it or not. It's not a lost cause, and we need more people that are enthusiastic and willing to make changes. So I definitely want to be one of those. So I'm graduated. Woohoo! High five to myself. Great. Now, after graduation, I had the nail camp event. Now, for those of you who have never heard of nail camp is an event that happens twice a year. They have Nail Camp East and Nail Camp West. Now, Nail Camp East this year was in Orlando, Florida. Last year was in Maryland. And Nail Camp West was in Idaho last year, and this year is going to be in Seattle in Vashon Island. So I'm really excited about that. Nail Camp is basically an event that you stay in with other nail technicians, and it's just 4 days of full classes and education, workshops, mingling, networking, competitions. I mean, there is so much going on. You really have no time to go to sleep, no time to rest. It's just go, 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 go. It's so much going on at that time. It's just absolutely amazing. So this year I had the privilege of going to Nail Camp as an educator instead of as a participant or attendee. And I was representing the brand Clear Jelly Stamper, which I do my classes for stamping. And I also do Magpie Beauty. So I was there representing both brands, and my classes were with this products as well. And what was special about this Nail Camp in Orlando was that we were trying to be a little bit more inclusive and try to reach out to Hispanic nail technicians. So we actually offer for the first time classes in Spanish, or it had the translation available in Spanish, and I was one of the translators. And for me, this is very important, and it touched me in a personal level because I feel that our industry could do better, we could be more inclusive, and we need to start teaching in our native language, not only in English, but in Spanish, Russian, Vietnamese, and the whole nine yards. And it was very important for me that this got done because I wanted to show everybody else, like, this can be done. We could have translators that are happy to attend and happy to, I forgot the word. They could, you know, use their bilingual skills and just go ahead and help other nail technicians in their own language. So it was just, translate. That's the word I'm looking for. Woo. I just came from a live in Instagram, and I did it in Spanish and English, so my brain is still like twitching from it. But yeah, we need more people that are willing to translate, either if you are a Russian nail technician and you need to translate for your peers, or Spanish or Vietnamese or Chinese, any language. Please know that, you know, all you have to do is reach out to your to the events coordinator and tell them that you're more than willing to do this. So it was very special for me that this could be done. And for my surprise, I actually met 8 Hispanic nail technicians that came, and 6 of them spoke only Spanish. The other ones were able to, you know, use their English knowledge as well. And man, they did not feel excluded at all. They participated in every activity and every class and demonstration. I was there with them translating. I also gave classes in Spanish. So I was really happy that this was done. And I really wanted to show, like, hey, this can be done. So let's start doing this as a, let's adopt this as the new normal. So really happy that the coordinator did this. And I so appreciate you, Jessica, for making this happen. And I really think that you should keep promoting this and you know, allowing more translations in every class because it's really needed. So I appreciate you for doing this. Thank you very much. So then this year in October is going to be the one in Seattle, which I'm going to be there. But the Orlando one was amazing, you guys. We had classes after classes after classes. We had to get up and right by 8 o'clock breakfast will start. Then we had raffles at every meal, so breakfast, lunch, and dinner. So 3 times a day we had raffles. So not only you get this huge swag bag of free products thanks to the sponsors, but also you get extra items for free because of the raffles. I mean, who does that? And camp is only $500. I mean, you have a place to stay. Meals are included. You get free products, free education, and raffle items. I mean, it's totally worth it, right? And if you want to find out more, you can go to www.nailcamp.org and find out where they're going to be next. I believe next year East is going to be Texas. We're just waiting for confirmation. They also have a Facebook group called Nail Camp USA. where you can join and you can see everything that's going on and every update. So I really encourage you to do both. They also have Instagram, nail_camp, and you can see it too, but they're more active on Facebook than on Instagram. So my goodness, it was just amazing. Our sweat bags was about 15 pounds of free product. I'm not kidding. Like, I have pictures all over my social media if you want to see them. Other nail technicians have posts in on the Facebook group. It's just amazing. And then for our sponsors, my gosh, this year we had so many sponsors. I was mind blown. We had over probably, oops, I just hit the microphone. I do this all the time. I'm sorry. We had over freaking 40, 50 sponsors this time. We had Accents, Angel Feet, Archon Mount, which is the stand that you can do your tutorials. My cell phone. We had Donuts Nails. I never heard of that. I'm really excited about Donuts Nail. We had Clear Jelly Stamper, Aerovex, Associated Nail Professionals, Atwood Industries, Bio Seaweed Gel, EGN, Cordosa Nail Supply, Cuccio, LetChat, Medicool, Foot Logics, Luminary, Light Elegance, Love Nails, which is Jessica's company, KMIZ, which is a Russian company who sent a kit to do a Russian manicure. That was amazing. Really great products. Nail Pro, Nails Magazine, Nova Flare, Profiles Backstage, Petty Socks, Orly, Wildflowers, Tribe, Ultronics, Ugly Ducklings, Poto Expert, Young Nails, Excalibur Instruments, Magpie Beauty. I mean, En Vogue. My gosh, the list is huge. Huge. So it was amazing. We also had a campfire. There was a lake in the campground. So we even saw a gator, you guys. I mean, you're definitely in Florida if you see a gator just around. But it was in the water, so don't worry. But it was kind of scary. And then we had very recognized educators. We had Irina Sabrian, which she is a Russian educator. She has been over 20 years in the industry, won several awards for competition and everything. I mean, it's high quality educators. We also had Suheida, which is a top educator in Puerto Rico for Russian manicure. We had Anastasia Todi, we had Renee Wilsmore, Brenda from Foot Logics. I mean, so many people. We had Jessica White, Tiffany Cordosa, KT, Lisa Ann, Jessica, Ali Baker. Oh my gosh, Ali Baker is your girl for acrylics and competitions. Amazing human being, super sweet. She is more than happy to answer any of your questions. Anyway, so why is Nail Camp important besides the free products and mingling and everything? I feel that Nail Camp is such an important event because we are starting a community. We recognize that there is a gap between education and the real world, right? And there is a gap of mentoring. There is a gap of a lot of things. So Nail Camp is trying to form this community and close that gap by providing education for free and also some other workshops that you do pay for those, the ones that are more than 3 hours, but the fee for those classes is so minimal versus when you go to huge trade shows like Premier Orlando or IBS, or you find individual educators like my Clear Jelly Stamper class is $200 plus depending what we're doing. But then at Nail Camp, I just charged $50. So it's like, and it wasn't a full day. It was a 3-hour workshop, but you see what I'm saying? Like, you get more for less. And I like that. I like that concept. And we were 150 people in camp. Everybody was just so hungry for learning, and they just want to be, you know, heard, and they want to be part of something greater. And Nail Camp provided that. Another cool thing about Nail Camp is that you get to meet these educators. We had an educator panel, and you were able to ask any questions that you wanted from the educators, and they all had a fantastic answer. And believe it or not, these educators are so approachable. They're so friendly. They're so eager to teach. They're so eager to help. They are eager to mentor you and to help in any way that they can, as long as you're willing to put the work, right? Because I get a lot of people who want to know the answer right away, but they're not willing to put the work. And then we get frustrated because it's like, well, I've repeated this to you 1,000 times, and obviously you're not putting the work, right? So I don't want you to think that because they're top educators that, oh, you can't talk to them, you can't send them a message. That is not true. They're more than willing to help. You just need to show up and show the work and show that you're trying. You can just, you know, don't get the result and then believe that's it. You need to put the work. So what I like about it, besides all this, is that besides creating that community, you have a very close personal relationship with the educator. Sometimes when you take workshops and classes, some educators, you know, you only see them the day of the class, and then after the class, you don't hear from them anymore until they have another workshop, right? I don't know if any of you had any experience like that where this educator is not very approachable. They're not answering your questions. They want you to pay for this class, and they are only willing to share any information if you pay them for the class. And then after the class, you don't hear from them anymore. They don't answer to any of your questions anymore. And then they do advanced classes and more classes just to make you pay. Bottom line, they want your money. But here at NELCAMP, these educators don't, it's not about that. They want to elevate the industry. They want you to succeed because they know some of them have been in the industry for years, more than I've been alive. So they recognize that this generation needs to learn, and we are the ones who are going to elevate the industry, because now there is an awareness and there is that hunger for changing the industry. Before 30, 20 years ago, it seems like the industry was not going to change. So they're willing to help you out. And in NELCAMP, you create this close relationship with your educator, where not only you get their classes, but then you see them at breakfast, lunch, dinner. You can get to interact with them 24/7 for the 4 days. So you create a friendship, a relationship. And then once everything is said and done, hey, you can still reach out to them over Facebook, over Instagram, give them a call. Whatever they tell you is best, you know, to get in touch with them. And you just have a friend forever. You know, it's just so different, so different. And I love it because of that. And then you get to meet people from around the country who are as crazy as you are for nails. And it just makes you think like you're home. Like, nobody's going to judge you. Nobody's going to look at you funny when you say things like, oh my gosh, look at those juicy cuticles, or look at that glitter I can just like wear forever. You know, people look at a normal person, non-nail industry, will look at you like you're insane. But when you're in NELCAMP, everybody agrees with you. Everybody's happy. And they understand where you're coming from. So it's definitely an event that you must attend. Seriously. Then what else we got? We got for free 2 classes that are so invaluable, and I was so excited to see them. It was a class, I'm getting the manual because it was more like a booklet, and we had the itinerary and everything that was happening, even information about the educators, and you get to keep this, you guys. So on the first day, we actually had 2 classes. One was called Incredible Improvements, and the other one was called Photographic Workshop. The Incredible Improvements, they were teaching for free how to place your apex the right way, how to build your nail with the correct structure, how to do a crisp, clear French nail, you know, the French tip with the white tip, and how to do it in acrylic and how to do it in gel. So in camp, they had 2 buildings where they separated acrylic and gel. And it sounds like, oh, well, that's kind of competition. But no, they did it separately because, as we know, acrylic has some fumes and smells. And some people are allergic to acrylic. And some people do not care about gels at all. So it was great to place them that way, because then if acrylic people had questions, the gel people were not looking at them like, I don't know what you're talking about, we don't do that here. Or if the gel people had questions, then the acrylic people will be like, I don't know what you're talking about. So it was great that everybody was specified in their own area. So the one that I attended was for gels, because I do gels. And it was just amazing how it was explained, and you were able to set up your table and work on yourself or work on somebody else. And then once you did what they tell you, each educator that were there, they were giving you feedback, constructive criticism, how can you improve? And by the end of the workshop, a lot of people improved dramatically. Now they know where the apex is going. Now they know how to build a nail correctly. And I'm telling you, this type of classes, they go for more than $300 because it's such a huge and lengthy workshop. And there's a lot involved in it when you're doing classes like this. So it was free, you guys. Free. Okay. And it was taught by Irina, which is the Russian nail technician that I told you about. So she has so much knowledge that she wanted to share. I just learned a lot. And even though you get classes that you're like, oh, I know this, there's always something new that you can learn, because people do things differently and they do what it works for them and their clients, right? So one technique might not work for you, but one technique might work for you. So this is the magic of education. The other workshop was called Photography Workshop. This one, they teach you how to take pictures the right way for your social media or website. Also, how to work with the light and cameras and the whole thing and a few tricks. And again, these classes, if you were to take them online or with a so-called expert, these run more than $300 too. And it was completely free. It was so hard for me to choose between the photographic one and the improvement, because I wanted to do both. But at the time, they were doing both at the same time. So I'll probably take the photographic next time on Nail Camp in Seattle. So just like that, you already got half of your investment. Such a great class as well. Then everybody got divided where we had an hour class in shopping. So we had an itinerary. These are the classes that were happening for a whole hour. So you can go and see them. And then take a little bit of that, walk to the next one. It was more like, you know, people just go around and see what's going on, and they can do shopping as well, kind of like a trade show. Then we had lunch, and then we had the 3-hour workshop that happened on Saturday. And that one, you know, everybody went to their classrooms and set up and everything. Then we had dinner and the roundtable discussions with the educator. Then we did a lot of shopping. On Friday, we had a campfire, which was amazing, by the lake. And we were all in edge a little bit just because of the gator, but we had the fire and we were loud enough. So I think the gators were more like scared of us. Then, what's the other thing? Oh, some of my friends from Puerto Rico, they have never had s'mores before because, you know, in the island is summer all year. So there's no need for campfires for, you know, and having s'mores and the whole thing. So it's not a custom there. So the fact that they were able to see and learn how to do s'mores, that was such a neat experience. And they loved it, of course. What else? Sunday, we did competitions. We also did 3-hour workshops, was lunch, dinner, and everything else. And then we had a costume party at night. So every year Nail Camp has a theme, and depending on the theme, we do a costume party. And also the nail competitions, if you want to do the nail art, you have to do it within the theme of the camp. So this year was the 1920s post-prohibition era. So if you go to Facebook, Instagram, and everything, you will see all the pictures of everybody in their costumes from the 1920s with the wigs, with the fedoras, with everything. They look so amazing, so beautiful. Everybody was so full of life. And we had a contest, so a couple of them won prizes because their costumes were exceptional. And it was just so much fun. Then something that I do want to share about the competitions was something that I learned in an educator panel was that somebody asked, how can you compete or how can you get into the world of competition? And one of the educators, one of the top educators, her name is Lisa. There's two Lisas, so I'm trying to get her last name. Lisa. Comfort. She was the founder and pretty much the manager for Nail Pro, which was Nail Magazine. And what she was talking about is that the nail competition started here in America, specifically in the United States. And, you know, professionals will compete in different levels. You can do a gel manicure. You can do a salon nail, which is the French pink and white. You can compete in structure. You can compete in nail art. Even, you know, they give you like a theme, like let's say safari, and then you put five huge tips together or individually and you create a piece of art within that theme using acrylic, gel, paints, glitter, you name it. Whatever that is a nail product, you will use it on your piece. And then she says that it became something completely huge to the point that they were winning money, prizes, medals, and the whole thing. And it came so huge that other countries adopted it. So the UK started doing it, and then it just became like a whole international and worldwide competition. By some reason, which is still not clear to me, and she did not get in specifics, something happened that the competition realm in the United States started fading away, started declining. And she was saying that in nail camp, we do competitions. We do kind of like the same thing that I just explained, but at nail camp level, and they win prizes and money and the whole thing. But she says that it is important to start reliving that again and starting to have people willing to compete and represent the United States for worldwide, because now it's huge in the UK, but it has declined in the United States. So they need people that are willing to compete. They're willing to put themselves out there. There's a lot of, you know, people that are super talented, not only in hand painting, but in like sculpting and creating art pieces. And she was very encouraging. Like, she wants you to know that there is a need. And if you don't know where to start, they are there to answer all your questions. So if you're a person who is interested in competing, who is interested in knowing more information, and you don't know where to start, or you're afraid of the feedback, please know that these educators are just so happy to help. They really want to mentor you, and they really want you to succeed, and they want you to represent us. So you can start in a low, like a small setting, like nail camp, which is only a few people, and there's judges and the whole thing to just get your exposure out there. But they're more than willing to help you to get out there and do competitions that are more, you know, at regional level, national level, international, etc. So if you are interested in, you don't know where to start, or you want more information, please reach out to me or reach out to the Nail Camp Facebook group, and you will get that information that you're asking for. I will connect you with people that really want to help you succeed in that subject. I have never competed. It's nerve-wracking for me. But after she said that, and I can see her passion and her sadness too, that, you know, the States are not so involved anymore, I kind of want to try it. I want to try at least the nail piece, because for the nail art piece, you have all the time in the world to create it in your house. And then you just come to nail camp and present it like it's your end product. It's not like you create it there. So I will have time to take, you know, to take my sweet ass time and perfect it to the way I want to, and then just bring it there. So definitely, I will encourage you to think about it. And if you have a talent, if you want to expose yourself, if you want to compete, reach out. We're here for you. Okay. So that was really important. And then on Monday, we just did the 5 to 8 hour workshops. So I had the Russian manicure class with Suheida. It was in Spanish. She is such an amazing educator. Very detailed, very caring. She's so sweet. Sometimes I look at her like, are you even real? I mean, it reminds me that, you know, in our culture, the Puerto Rican culture, we are such a hospitable people. Like, we're so friendly. Even though we have never met in person, it just feels like we're cousins somehow. And I know it's a cultural thing, but I miss that. And being able to experience that again, it's just, it made me so happy. And she is super sweet. She was so detailed. She answered all my questions. And you can see on my social media how I my before and after picture, like how juicy my cuticles were. And then after the Russian manicure, it was just freaking amazing, like photo shoot almost. It was great. And then we were done. That was it. We all say our goodbyes. We packed and then we all head home and everybody was kind of sad because we didn't want this to end. It was such a great event, really. And now we're taking new memories. We take pictures. We took products and we made new friends. So definitely, definitely amazing. And we are back. So after nail camp was done, it was time for me to go home. And I am going to rant to you guys because something awful happened to me at the airport. So I have 3 pieces of luggage. They're huge. I have 2 big ones and then a carry-on, which I brought from Portland, from PDX to Orlando. And it had the same things I had when I flew through Alaska from Portland to Orlando. It had my LED lamp. And it had cuticle oil and it had some nail tools, implements, nothing too crazy, nothing flammable. And I never had an issue. So I go to Orlando. I am 2 hours before my flight, which is the recommended time, right? But I already checked in online. So I thought it was going to be easy peasy. I just had to like grab something to eat and then just wait until I boarded. So I arrive and I go through the Alaska checkpoint and drop my luggages and then I pay for it, which is $70 for 2 of them. Because you get a third one, it's $100 more. So it will have been $170. So anyway, I pay for my luggage. I go and see the Orlando airport is such a huge airport. It's as big as New York, if not, maybe New York is bigger, but it's as big as New York because they take international flights from everywhere. Portland is it's a little bit of a smaller airport. So it's hella busy. And because it's such a busy airport, you have a lot of stores, a lot of restaurants. It looks like a mall inside an airport. So anyway, I am walking and it takes about 5 minutes to get to the security line walking because, you know, it's a long hallway and then you go through all these stores and everything. So the security line is packed. I mean, packed. There were lines outside, the whole lines. So I go through it. It takes me 40 minutes to get to the actual security. And I'm carrying this carry-on, which is 24 pounds. So, you know, my back is hurting a little bit. And I go through the security and this guy is not returning my carry-on. And they take me to a room and they tell me that, you know, they cannot allow me to pass this carry-on. And I explained that I just come from a nail event and this is my LED lamp and I tell them what's for. And I explain, you know, that these are my tools or anything like that. There's nothing flammable. There's no weapons. It's just tools. So the guy says, I need to look for my supervisor. So they have me about 15 minutes waiting for a supervisor. So then he comes in and he's like, we're not going to allow you to take this carry-on. And I said, well, can I check it in at the gate? And he's like, no, you're not going to pass with this carry-on at this point. And I said, so what are my options? So he's like, you have to go back to Alaska and check in your carry-on and they will escort you to your gate because you already passed security. And I'm looking at the clock and my flight starts boarding at 3:55. It's 3:50 at this point. So I've been wasting my time here waiting for these people. So they escort me back and I go to Alaska again, 5 minutes walking. So it's already 3:55-ish. And I explain to the lady at the counter what's going on. So I will have to check in my bag. So she looks and she's like, well, I can't check in your bag. And I said, why? And she's like, well, your flight started boarding. So once it boards, my system won't allow me to check in a new bag. And I said, oh, please, like, hello. At this point, I'm trying to keep calm and I'm like trying to be understanding. And I said, can you please talk to somebody? Because these are my tools. I cannot leave this bag here. I don't live here. It has to make it to Portland. So she brings her supervisor and her supervisor is telling me the same thing. And I said, look, I checked in early. I came here with time. I never had an issue from Portland. I don't understand what's going on. And he's like, well, this is Orlando. Like, whatever they let you pass through Portland, it's not the same. I'm like, it doesn't make sense in my head. But so I think he sees my desperation face. So he's like, okay, fine, I'll print a label. So he printed a label, but then he proceeds to tell me that one, I have to pay the $100 additionally. And then two, that he will not guarantee that the carry-on will arrive to Portland. Just because TSA takes about 30 minutes, they only have a 30-minute frame to check all the bags that go inside the plane. And I'm looking at him like, that's not my problem. Like, you, I'm not going to pay $100 more if you're not going to guarantee that my carry-on will make it to Portland. So after going back and forth with him, he says, okay, fine, I'm not going to charge you, but again, I cannot guarantee it. And I was just like, okay, fine, I'll just throw it there. And then please escort me back because my flight started boarding. At this point, it's already 4:05. 4:10, almost 4:10. So he looks at me and he's like, I don't know who told you that, but we don't do that. We don't escort people. And I'm like, you gotta be kidding me. I said, okay, the security guy said this and my flight is boarding and I am not gonna make another 40-minute line at the security line. And he's like, he looked at me and he said to me, well, I suggest that you run. Oh my God, you guys. I actually said something in Spanish to him. I said, eres un cabrón. Which I'm not going to repeat in English, but if you know Spanish, you know what that means. And the flight, the attendant next to him, she spoke Spanish, so she knew exactly what I said. And I just started running. I started running for my life, okay? So I make it to the security line, and I said to the security guy, can I please go through? And I explain everything that happened. And the security guy is like, no, ma'am, I'm sorry. We cannot let you cut through. You will have to ask people to let you cut through. So at this point, I am begging people to let me cut through because I have to go through security again. My flight is boarding. I'm going to be late. I'm going to miss my flight. And all because they just don't want this to pass for no reason. Like, I literally had no issues with Portland. So I am begging people, please let me cut through. My flight is boarding. Please, blah, blah, blah. Thank God that people were so nice, even though, you know, traveling can be very stressful and everybody's like angry and frustrated, especially if you have small kids. And there were kids screaming on the line, but thankfully people were very comprehending. They're like, yeah, sure, pass. We still have time, whatever. So this guy sees me like I'm asking and begging and asking and begging. And he goes, hey, y'all, move. She needs to go through her flight. She's going to miss her flight. So he makes everybody move so I can go through the line. Thank you, Jesus, for this person. Thank you so much, gentlemen, because I don't know your name, but I am grateful to you. So I go to the line and I'm trying to pass for the damn machine. And there's this old lady with a cane who does not understand that the guy is telling her, you cannot go through the machine with your cane, but she can't hear him. And I'm like, please, Jesus, please. I just need to go. Like, please, lady. I mean, it sounds horrible, but my flight is boarding and it's like, I am going through this whole thing once again. So I let the lady get scanned and the whole thing. That took a few minutes. I pass through the scan. I have to take all my shoes and everything because, you know, they don't let you pass with anything like that. So once my bag and my personal items go through the machine, I grab my laptop, put it in the backpack, put everything I could shove in my personal item in my back, my backpack. And I grab my shoes and I just run. I run for my damn life. I run like somebody's chasing me. I run like if a lion is behind me. I run for my life. Then guess what? The gate was 111, which is at the very bottom, at the end of the airport, okay? So I'm running like there's no tomorrow. Forget about eating or having coffee. I have to run. My plane is gonna leave me. So I'm running and running and running. And I'm talking about like a full mile run, probably more than that because it was long. Then guess what? The sign for 111 takes me to the shuttle train. I have to take the train because Alaska's terminal is at the very end of hell. It's at the end of the airport, okay? So I get into the shuttle. I am trying to put my shoes on. At this point, I am hyperventilating. I'm shaking. I have the mask on. The air is hot. I feel I can't breathe. My hands are shaking. This lady sees me struggling, trying to untie my shoes so I can put them on. So she's like, honey, let me help you. thank you, you godsend, because at this point, I have two angels taking care of me at this point. So she helps me untie them. The shuttle is moving. I'm trying to put my shoes, but I can't balance myself. So she helps me put my shoes on, like if I'm a little kid, and tie them. Again, thank you very much. So then when the shuttle arrives and opens the doors, I just go speed, like boom, I just went and start running again for my life. I'm like, coming through, excuse me. Like, I'm just like running. Finally made it to the gate. And guess what? They were about to close the gate. Okay. And I'm like, please don't close it. Like, please, I'm here. And then the lady is like, what's going on? And I said, nobody called you from Alaska. This happened to me. And I'm telling her the whole story. And she's like, nobody called. At this point, I'm thinking, okay, this is just pure evil, bad customer service. Like, if you do something to me like this, like you tell me to run because I'm going to miss my flight because you guys cannot take 5 minutes to escort me past security. I wasn't asking them to escort me to the terminal. I'm asking them to pass me through security. The least that you can do is to call the terminal and be like, hey, we have this passenger. This is what happened to her. She's on her way. You know what I'm saying? Like, basic call. I would have done that. I work for Spirit Airlines. I would have done that for any client. But let's go on. So then let me go through. Thank God. I'm the last one to seat. Okay. I'm the last one to take a seat. You know, I have the window seat too. So I tell my neighbors, I'm sorry, excuse me, I'm going here. And I am sweating like a pig. I am red, hyperventilating, sweating, like drops of sweat are coming out of me. Sit down and I'm all shaky. I'm thirsty. I'm hot. I feel I cannot breathe with my mask on. So I start crying. I just started bawling. Looking out a window. I didn't want anybody to see me cry, but I'm just like, like doing that because it just, oh my God, I never have to be through a situation like this before. So then my flight was 5.5 hours in that plane. And I'm just like thirsty, trying to calm down, waiting for them to give something to drink because I don't know what I did with my bottle of water, but I cannot find it in my backpack. So they probably took it even though it was sealed. But anyway, I'm there and I'm just praying, please God, let me have my backpack when I arrive because, I mean, there's so much in there. If I were to lose that carry-on, there were hundreds of dollars in tools and things that I need for work. And do you think they're going to refund me for that? No, thank you. I mean, their customer service is bad enough. You know what I'm saying? And it's so disappointing because I never had an issue with Alaska. I actually prefer them over other airlines. And this was such a bad taste in my mouth. So then I sleep half of the trip because I'm already tired. Plus, I think the endorphins from running kicked in. And then the next 2 hours that I woke, I was just like reading a book and whatever. So it was fine. But then I arrive and they tell us that the back claim is Terminal 3. So we're all there waiting and waiting and waiting and nothing comes out and waiting. And then it finally kicks in and I'm seeing everybody grabbing their luggage. But some of us were like, where's our luggage? It's not coming through. So then the announcement comes, hey, the flight from Orlando to Portland, we actually switched it to Terminal 2. So then we went to Terminal 2 and everybody was grabbing their bags. And I see the two that I paid for, but I don't see my third one. And at this point, I'm about to throw up. I'm so anxious at this point. I'm like, oh my gosh, they lost it. Where is it going to be? How am I going to find it? How are they going to track it? I mean, my mind was just like running like crazy until I finally see it coming in the carousel. I'm like, Jesus, thank you. I almost cry for a carry-on. And, you know, it might sound silly, but it was such a scare. Like, it's awful. Nobody should go through that. Flying and traveling is already stressful enough for a lot of people. Like, I don't understand why airlines cannot make it a little easier for us, you know? And that everything is so expensive. $170 for three pieces of luggage. Like, that's crazy. But I get it, you know, gas, tariffs, the whole thing. I get it. I'm not going to get into that. But, you know, at least I deserved a call from the terminal and somebody telling them that I was on my way. Like, I don't understand what took them so long. They honestly had no other flights to check in, because when I went in with my carry-on, they were cleaning and like not doing anything, which means that they were not expecting more people until the next flight. So it's like, you really couldn't call? I just don't understand why we can't have a better customer service. It's like, there's no common sense. Anyway, that's my ranting. That's what happened. But I finally got my bag, so I should be happy, right? I just want to let you know that, you know, just arrive with time every time you're traveling for an event or something, and prepare for every possible scenario. I was not prepared for this at all. So I let that out. Thank you for listening to me. Anyway, that was my camp experience. It was amazing and it was terrifying at the end, but that will not ruin the whole experience. It was great. So I did a live today on Instagram, Facebook, and YouTube talking about this. Obviously, in the podcast, I'm a little bit more detailed, but I do have a giveaway going on. So if you want to get free products, just listen to that live. But basically, it's super easy. Just since you're listening to the podcast, I appreciate you. Thank you. So I'll tell you the giveaway. I have three products, so you have three opportunities to win, and they're super easy. First, find my YouTube channel, because I'm trying to grow my YouTube channel. Find it. It's called The Nail Pod. Just subscribe and turn the notifications button and like any video that you find. Just one of them. Not all of them. Just one. Or watch them and like them. It's up to you. But the requirements are find it, subscribe, put the notification button on, and then the bell, and then like one video. And then that will take your name on an entry, because I can see who liked the video. Okay? So that will get you an entry for one of the products. It's that Light Elegance Gel Mani products. It has the base, color, top coat, and even the Jimmy Gel, which is great for encapsulation and also like a structured manicure. It's completely crystal clear. It's great. The second giveaway is for my Facebook page. It's the Facebook business page. It's called The Nail Pod. And if you want to look in the search, it's at The Only Nail Pod. And then just follow the page and just like one post. That's all you have to do. And that one is a FootLogix Callus Softener plus the Foot File, which is a $50 value. It's an amazing, amazing tool for pedicures, if you do pedicures, or even for yourself. If you have some dead skin or some calluses, it will be great for you to work on them with this product. They're amazing. The Foot File is super smooth and safe to use. And the third one is for Instagram. So at The Nail Pod, just follow my page and like one post. That's all you have to do. No tagging, no sharing, no putting in your story. All you have to do is follow and like, and that's it. Everybody's gonna get in that drawing for the individual platforms. And then on Sunday the 23rd, I will announce a winner. So super easy. I'm just trying to grow the engagement. But if you feel that other nail technicians and other people might benefit from our pages and my social media, and they might like the content, then go ahead and by all means share my pages or tag them in any post. I will appreciate it. So comments, questions, like always, DM me, send me a message, call me. It's up to you. You know I'm here for you. I thank you so, so, so much for listening for today's episode. I hope that you will get motivated enough to join our next nail camp. Again, it's going to be in Seattle in October, if not next year in Texas. And I just want to connect with you guys. So let me know you're listening. I'm not talking just to the void. Thank you again. I'll see you soon. Goodbye. Adios.